All right, this is the second intro that I've recorded because the computer decided to crap out on me. But this is the College Football Week 9 Under the Radar Picks show for Winning Cures Everything.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packs of juicy Kroger red, green, or black seedless grapes for $3.99 with your card and a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packs of flavorful Private Selection 80% Lean Angus ground chuck for $4.99 each with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And yes, every week we go through at least 20 games that were not discussed on the BetUS College Football Show that I host on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. We've got quite a few games today, of course, 20 of them. I will tell you, these are not my official plays. You can get those at bettingcfb.com or on the BetUS College Football Show. Those two spots there. But it's very easy. Make sure you are subscribed to the channel. Make sure, of course, that you are subscribed to the podcast as well, because there's other stuff on that feed that you don't get over here. So let's go ahead and get to this thing. All right, we'll start off with Ohio State hosting Nebraska. The line right now, 25.5, total of 48.5 on this one. And my number on this for the full season has Ohio State minus 26. I mean, it makes all the sense in the world, right? Last time we saw Ohio State was when they were playing against Oregon, and they lose that in excruciating fashion, just as close as you can possibly get. My spread on the last 4 weeks, if you can see up there at the top, Ohio State minus 17.96. Nebraska is not as bad as they looked against Indiana just last week. They are okay. And I think that Ohio State, what they're going to be doing, because they do have Penn State coming up next week, I don't think that they are too worried about getting margin in this game. They are more worried about just winning the game overall. The best thing that Nebraska does on offense is they throw the ball. But you got to be able to defend. You got to be able to block. That's going to be tricky because Nebraska is number 59 in havoc rate allowed. Ohio State is number 18 in havoc created. So that is something to pay attention to. Other than that, I mean, Nebraska is a perfectly fine football team. You start digging into some of these numbers. Ohio State is number 8 in 5 factors plus talent rank. Nebraska is number 31. So we're not talking too big of a difference here. Neither one of these teams covers at a big rate. I think the coaching advantage, at least with the coordinators, for sure, has to go with Ohio State. Jim Knowles going up against Marcus Satterfield is, I mean, that's not great. And on the other side, you know, Chip Kelly going against Tony White, that's kind of a wash. On defense, Nebraska hasn't been as good against the run as you would think. Number 44 in predicted points added allowed. When I look at this, I think based on the bye week last week for Ohio State, and they've got Penn State coming up, I think it's simple enough that the number is just a touch too high. It was 23.5 at open. I think it's just a little bit too high. I think Nebraska is going to stay within this number. Maybe a 31-7 kind of game, or 34-10, something along those lines. But I think that Nebraska actually covers this spread. Next up, we got Ole Miss hosting Oklahoma. Ole Miss is a 20.5 point favorite in Oxford. This is the early slate. These games are in order, by the way. Total of 48.5 on this one as well. And good gracious. Now, the last 4 weeks' number, I cannot figure out. Oklahoma has done this twice to me. If you look at their PPA numbers, like on offense, they are just atrocious. But on defense, I think that that's where things are getting a little screwy. I've got to check and see how weighted my model is. But forget the last 4 weeks' number. Based on the full season, I've got Ole Miss by 19.5, which is exactly what this thing opened up. And the reason why it jumped out as much as it did, I think it got up to 21 before we saw some Oklahoma buyback, which when was the last time you saw Oklahoma as a 21-point dog? I mean, that's just absurd. But the reason why we saw this is because Oklahoma's offensive line is number 122 in havoc rate allowed, and Ole Miss's defense is number 1 their front seven gets after it. They are really, really good at that. On the other side, as far as offensive line yards, Oklahoma's number 128, stuff rate number 116. Ole Miss's defensive line is number 3 and number 11 in those spots, as you can see right there. Looking at turnover rate, Oklahoma's number 83 in giveaways per game. Ole Miss is number 40 in takeaways per game. Penalty yardage, Ole Miss, not great at that. There's a lot of hidden yards in there. 84.6 penalty yards per game for Ole Miss, only 55 for Oklahoma. So there's 30 yards that Oklahoma can get. As far as the offense, I think Ole Miss is going to be able to score here. Oklahoma, number 75 in predicted points added allowed per pass. That's not great. And Ole Miss throws the ball 52.21% of the time, and they're number 7 in that metric. When it comes down to it, until Oklahoma gets this offensive line fixed, I can't bet on them. This thing's under 3 touchdowns. I'm going to go with Ole Miss to cover the 20.5. All right, game 3, we're going to Lane Stadium in Blacksburg, Virginia. Virginia Tech hosting Georgia Tech, and Virginia Tech is a 10.5-point favorite, total of 51.5 on this. And my full season number has got Virginia Tech by 2.81, which is not ideal, obviously. And, of course, Georgia Tech, it looks like Haynes King is going to be out again on this. So that's not ideal. Last 4 stats. My allergies are killing me, I'm telling you. Virginia Tech minus 16.42. Virginia Tech has been playing really, really well as of late. Georgia Tech, better strength of schedule. Virginia Tech, number 47. Georgia Tech, 26 in that. This Georgia Tech defense is not great, but their weakness is against the pass. They are number 98 in PPA per pass. They are number 100 in passing success rate allowed. Virginia Tech is number 70 and number 93 in those. So don't have much to worry about with that, but maybe passing explosiveness becomes an issue because Virginia Tech is number 7 there and Georgia Tech is number 100. So Georgia Tech does allow explosive plays through the air. On the other side, they're better against the run. Number 25 in predicted points added allowed per run, number 20 for Virginia Tech's offense. So I think Georgia Tech will be able to slow down Virginia Tech some. On the other side, if Pyron plays, I still think that he's a pretty decent quarterback. He can run. He can do some things. They're number 23 in PPA per pass. I don't think that's as good without Haynes King in the ballgame. But as far as the running game, yeah, that's where it becomes a problem. More people rush against Virginia Tech. Their defensive snaps, 58% of them have been against the run, and the reason for that is because they are not as good at that as they are defending the pass. When it all comes down to it, 5 factors plus talent rank has Georgia Tech number 39, Virginia Tech number 43. I think that Georgia Tech stays within this number. 10.5 is a crazy, crazy number. I know that my last 4 says way, way, way big on Virginia Tech, but I think that Georgia Tech will be able to stay within that 10.5. We know, of course, that Brent Pry is really good as a double-digit dog. They didn't cover against Notre Dame last week. Virginia Tech isn't quite Notre Dame. I'll take Georgia Tech to cover 10.5. Game 4, the Hoos down in Whoville. That's right, Virginia hosting North Carolina. Virginia is a 4.5-point favorite, total of 59.5 on this. And let's start diving through these numbers here. My number on this is Virginia minus 6 for the full season, but based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Virginia minus 1.8. Strength of schedule, Virginia is certainly better, number 50 against North Carolina, number 86. The efficiency of this North Carolina team, Omarion Hampton, it should give you a better rushing attack than what North Carolina's got. North Carolina, number 106, sorry, this is the other way. It's PPA per pass that North Carolina's not good at. Okay, let's rewind. Let's do this again. North Carolina's defense can't stop the run. That's what Virginia's best at. They're number 39 in PPA per rush, as you can see right there. So, they only run the ball about 49.7% of the time, so about half and half. They do try and throw it some. North Carolina's not great at stopping the pass, but more people try and run it on them because they're not as good at defending that. On the other side, North Carolina, the only thing they can do on offense is run the ball. They're number 26 in PPA per rush. Omarion Hampton, as I just brought up, really, really good at that. They can't throw the ball, which is good for Virginia because Virginia can't defend it. Number 110 PPA allowed per pass. North Carolina's number 108 in that metric. North Carolina can run the ball. They are pretty good at this. I think that Virginia's offense is going to end up being a little bit too much here. Virginia, just a little more fundamentally sound overall as a football team. They're not near the talent level that North Carolina has, but North Carolina has been doing this basically all year. They're just not a great or even a good football team. You start to look at these numbers, they are 0-6 against the spread. Virginia is 5-1. I know that that's baked into the number. I don't care. I'm going to go with Virginia to cover. I found a 4 out there, so shop for your numbers, of course. But give me Virginia minus 4 on this one. We go to the AAC for this next one here. And good gracious, Tulane goes to North Texas. North Texas hung in there with Memphis last week at the Liberty Bowl. But North Texas is a 7.5-point home dog, total of 66.5 on this one. And yeah, this one's going to get real, real tricky very quickly. Tulane, I've got them by 8.56 on this. Not too bad. I mean, it's pretty close to the number. But based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Tulane minus 15. Now, Rice outplayed Tulane last week. But was it a look-ahead spot? Was it a game that Tulane just didn't really care about? Tulane still won by 2 touchdowns, so it didn't really necessarily matter. The thing that North Texas does best is they throw the football. Number 35 in predicted points added allowed per pass. Not allowed, excuse me, PPA per pass on offense. They throw the ball 63% of the time-ish. Tulane, even though teams are throwing the ball on them 55% of the time, they are still number 8 in PPA allowed per pass. They are number 48 in passing success rate allowed. They are number 1 in the country in passing downs PPA allowed. They are really, really good against the pass. On the other side, Tulane's offense is going to be able to do basically whatever they want. Darian Mensah, the quarterback, number 8 in predicted points added per pass. North Texas is number 104 in that metric. Just overall, North Texas number 105 in defensive per drive numbers. At Tulane is number 35 on offense, number 7 on defense. I think this Tulane defense is going to be able to slow down North Texas. And when they do, I think that they are still going to be able to score on the other side. I think Tulane gets a little bit of margin here. It's going to be interesting. This one should probably be double digits, but it's not. In which case, we will take the green wave on this. All right. Let me tell you right quick. If you like the sheets that you're seeing here, you can subscribe, be a member at bettingcfb.com. I put them out every Sunday at the latest Monday morning. That way you can get to them. You can see exactly what the breakdowns are in case you were wanting to bet these as well. Or if you're just curious about what the numbers are on your favorite teams, there you go. That's the way to do it, bettingcfb.com. Next, tickets are ridiculously expensive. They really are. Do yourself a favor. Go to TicketSmarter.com. It's the best third-party ticketing app out there. TicketSmarter mobile app or TicketSmarter.com. I use them. I've got buddies that use them. They are fantastic. They take care of you. Great customer service. On top of that, you can save money every single time you buy tickets. Do it to it. Use the promo codes. WCE10 gets you $10 off an order of $100 or more. WCE20 gets you $20 off an order of $300 or more. And that's not just a one-time thing. It's not a sign-up bonus. Every single time you buy tickets, you can save money. So put in those promo codes and do yourself a favor. Save yourself some money. Think smarter with Ticket Smarter. Okay, we carry on. All right. Mississippi State hosts Arkansas this week in Starkville, and Arkansas is a 6.5-point road favorite here, total of 57.5 on this. And this one is tricky because based on stats from the last 4 weeks, I've got Arkansas favored by 8.7. I've got just on the full season, Arkansas favored by 7.3. You start looking at like PPA margins, stuff like that. Number 113 for Mississippi State, number 44 for Arkansas. But you get down here and you start to look at who's covered spreads. Arkansas is 5-2 against the number. State is 4-3. Arkansas needs this one pretty badly, I think, to go to a bowl game. They're coming off of getting beat by LSU last week. When you're looking at, let's see, who have they got next? Is this a spot where they might just kind of be let down? So they host Ole Miss next week, and Mississippi State has got, let's see, they got UMass next week. State just went through the gauntlet of at Texas, bye week, at Georgia, Texas A&M at home. They covered all three of those now that they've switched over to Michael Van Buren. I look at this and I think that this is a spot where Arkansas might want to put up some points, right? I'm changing what my initial thought was on this. Again, these are not the official plays. These are the leans. You want the official, you go to bettingcfb.com. But yeah, I think that Arkansas is going to cover the 6.5. The market is certainly buying in on Mississippi State playing slower, because they were really, really quick. Arkansas still likes to play quick. They're number 18 in offensive plays per game. I think that Arkansas is going to be able to put up points here, and I'll tell you why. Because State's defense is atrocious. Number 132 in predicted points added allowed per pass. Arkansas is number 82 in that, but they are number 20 in passing success rate, number 22 in passing explosiveness. Mississippi State is next to last in explosiveness allowed per pass. As far as running the ball, Arkansas number 38, State is number 97 in that. State does not allow rushing explosiveness, so maybe that's something. But, man, on the other side, State's offense is not bad, but Arkansas's defense is pretty good. I don't necessarily trust Buren a lot yet, but he is getting better. I think State will score some. I think Arkansas will score more. Let's make this simple. Give me Arkansas minus the 6.5. We'll go to the Sun Belt. Georgia State goes to App State, and App State favored by 7.5, total of 63.5. So they are expecting there to be points there, and I get it. I totally get it. You look at the breakdown here. I've got App State by one, and based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Georgia State favored by 3. Now, App State is certainly the bigger brand. Their offense has done some really good things. They are number 7 in passing success rate. Georgia State is number 114. The issue that you run into is that App State is number 133 in standard downs PPA. Now, granted, Georgia State's defense is not very good at stopping that. They're number 114, but App State just kind of gets in their own way. Number 93 in penalties per game. They are number 114 in penalty yards per game at 71.2. Georgia State is number 42 in penalty yards per game. That's 47.5. So you're looking at, you know, an extra 25 yards in there somewhere for Georgia State if the averages hold. Georgia State's offense is not good either, but App State's defense cannot tackle. They are not good. It is atrocious. They are number 134 in predicted points added allowed per rush, number 126 in PPA allowed per pass. It is really, really bad. If you just look at overall efficiency, five factors plus talent rank, Georgia State's number 106, App State is number 125. I know App State looked decent enough against Louisiana. They outgained Louisiana in that game. Still lost the game by 10. I think this is easy enough. My number has got it way, way off. I like Georgia State to be able to cover the 7.5. I liked it better when it was at 8, but the best number you can get right now is a 7.5 on that. Give me the Panthers. Give me the Panthers. Over to the SEC, and we go to Tuscaloosa. Alabama, a 13.5-point favorite over Missouri, and a total of 53.5 on this one. My number on this is Alabama minus 12.5. Stats based on the last 4 weeks would have it Missouri minus 3.29-ish. So a little over 3 points for Missouri. This one is interesting, I think. You start to look at these numbers, and Alabama cannot run the ball. They are number 116 in offensive line yards. They are number 123 in stuff rate allowed. Missouri is good at both of those. Missouri's defense should be able to shut down Alabama, which sounds odd. There might be something up with Jalen Milroe. Now, does that mean that Ty Simpson gets to come in? If he does he look better than what Milroe did? That's a question, right? We'll see. We will see. On the other side, when Missouri has the ball, number 60 in PPA per pass, Alabama's defense is number 50. Number 56 in PPA per rush. Nate Noel is out for this game, by the way. I think that that Missouri is going to be able to throw the ball on Alabama. Keon Sabb, the safety, transferred in from Michigan. He is out. He broke his foot in the last game, so he's going to be out for a little bit. I don't think Bama can stop the run, but I don't think Missouri's great at running the ball. It's a little bit different, but you chip away here, chip away there. Bama's number 112 in penalties per game. They're number 120 in penalty yards per game. So you got like a 20-yard advantage for Missouri in that. Efficiency-wise, like five factors plus talent, Bama number 10, Missouri number 14. I think these two teams are actually really close. I think Missouri can hang in this game. Like, I really do. Alabama's got a bye week coming up. They are dinged up. They are hurt. They're trying to get stuff right. Everybody thinks that Alabama's going to wake up at some point. What if they don't? Just a thought. I'll take Missouri plus the 13.5. Best number you can get out there is 13.5. I liked it at 14 earlier in the week, but yeah, 13.5 for Missouri. We go to the Big Ten, where Northwestern heads to Kinnick Stadium to take on Iowa. Iowa currently a 13.5-point home favorite, total of 37.5, so not a ton of points on this. And typically, when you've got a low total and a double-digit spread, you're typically looking towards the dog in this. Iowa, I've got them by 11.75 in this game. I've got a total of 42.78. The Iowa overs have just been awesome this year. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Iowa by 12. So, you know, this thing opened at 14.5. It's down to 13.5 now. I might expect this to continue to move. When Iowa is on offense, they are good at running the ball. Caleb Johnson is the kid's name, number 55 in PPA per rush. Northwestern's defense is number 7. They are number 46 in rushing success rate allowed. Iowa is number 60 in rushing success. Offensive line yard, stuff rate, that all favors Northwestern's defensive line and their front 7. As far as passing the ball, Iowa's not great at it, but they do try it some. They're throwing the ball 41% of the time or 41.5% of the time. But they're number 96 in PPA per pass. Northwestern is number 79 there. Maybe you can have some success through the air against this Wildcat defense. On the other side, Northwestern's offense just not good whatsoever. Wisconsin just completely shut them down last week. When I'm looking at this, I don't think they're going to be able to throw the ball, but Jake Lausch, I think is the kid's name, he has at least provided somewhat of a spark for them over the last couple of weeks. When they beat Maryland, he certainly had a good ball game, but he did not last week against Wisconsin. Iowa's defense can probably just completely shut them down. Two teams that don't have a lot of penalties, number 22 in penalty yards per game for Northwestern, number 1 for Iowa. You look at turnover margin, neither team really turns the ball over much, and that is something that Iowa has feasted on. They have lived with great field position, number 14 on defense, number 9 on offense. Northwestern, terrible defensive field position. Number 55 on offense, though. So, you know, it is what it is. When I look at this, based on the numbers, I mean, Iowa number 42 in five factors plus talent, Northwestern number 83, I think that there are a couple of things here that it's going to make this thing be lower scoring. And when it's a lower scoring game, I think Northwestern can steal a touchdown here or there because I don't trust this Iowa offense. With that, I think Northwestern keeps this within. The best number I found was Northwestern plus 14. Give me the Wildcats. I think they can cover at Kinnick. I think this could end up being a 21-10 kind of game. And in that number, we cover. We'll stay in the Big Ten, and Maryland is going to Minnesota. Minnesota, a 4.5-point favorite, total of 46.5 on this. My number on this is Minnesota favored by 4.78, so I'm pretty close. Over the past 4 weeks, it's got Maryland minus 0.14. So basically a pick'em over the last 4 weeks. But this is Maryland going on the road, and that's not great. Maryland's defense is really good against the run. As you can see, number 20 in PPA per pass. PPA per rush. They are number 73 in rushing success rate allowed, though. Minnesota, they are pretty good at this. They're not great at explosive runs. They're not great in offensive line yards. They're not great in stuff rate, but they find a way to run the ball. Darius Taylor is awesome. He just is. This Maryland defense, not good at stopping the pass, which is okay because Minnesota is not great at throwing the ball. What's really weird about this is they are number 84 in PPA per pass, but they throw the ball 56% of the time. That is number 28 in the country. They throw the ball the 28th most in the country, and they're not good at it. Number 107 in passing success rate, just not great. On the other side, the thing that Maryland is best at, which is throwing the ball, they're number 47 in predicted points added per pass. Minnesota is best at defending it, number 18 in PPA allowed per pass. So you start digging into these things, points per scoring opportunity. Minnesota is number 68. Minnesota is number 39 on defense in that. As far as Minnesota's offense, they're number 46 in points per scoring opportunity. When they get inside your 40, they're going to put up some points. Maryland is number 75 there. So Maryland allows teams to finish drives. This one, that was a big win for for Maryland last week at home. Comeback win over USC. That's an emotional win. Maryland has got, let's see, they haven't been great on the road. They got a bye week coming up, and then they've got Oregon on the road after that. Minnesota, what they've got, they're coming off of a bye week, and they play at Illinois next week. This is a big game for Minnesota. I think they're going to be fired up. The Fight and PJ Flex, I think, are going to be able to cover this number. The best I found was a 4 out there, so give me Minnesota minus the 4 on this one. All right, let me tell you right quick. If you're not already, subscribe to the BetUS College Football Show. We cover other games over there. So this week, I think we covered 18 games in full in-depth. Myself, Parker Fleming, and Kyle Hunter. There's a link in the description. You can subscribe there now. We would certainly appreciate that. And of course, if you haven't already subscribed here, go ahead and do that. Let me tell you right quick about GhostSleeves. GhostSleeves.com/WCE or just GhostSleeves.com and put in WCE as your promo code. You're going to get 15% off the best compression kinesiology sleeves on the market. If you got aching joints, elbows, knees, whatever, if you are 41 years old like myself and have a 6-year-old at home that loves to do WWE wrestling, he wants to be Roman Reigns taking out me, I guess, Solo Sikoa or whatever, you're going to be hurting. The joints hurt when you get older. These kinesiology sleeves help out whether you are playing sports, whether you're wrestling with a 6-year-old, whether you're doing yard work, it doesn't matter. Ghost sleeves are the best kinesiology compression sleeves on the market. GhostSleeves.com/WCE. All right, we carry on, and we are going to UConn. An independent is hosting Rice this week. UConn favored by 6.5, total of 46.5 on this one. My number on this has UConn favored by 11.12. These last 4 week numbers are incredibly high variance. They are, you're only taking a very small sample size from a sport where we've already got a small sample size. So, but it does give you an idea of which team is playing better currently. And right now, Rice is playing significantly better than UConn. Although on the full season, UConn has been playing better, as you can see through the numbers. Based on the full season stats, which that's what these are, Rice is number 27 in PPA allowed per pass on defense. UConn number 52. UConn doesn't like to throw it as much as they like to run it. They throw the ball 46.3% of the time here, but they are number 82 in passing success rate. Rice, great at defending it, number 14 on defense. When you look at Rice's rushing defense, they leave a lot to be desired. Number 82 in PPA allowed per rush, but they are number 53 in rushing success allowed. UConn is number 69 and number 81 in those stats. UConn, not great at finishing drives, number 72 in points per scoring opportunity, but they do have a lot of scoring opportunities. They're number 33 in that. Rice gives up a lot of scoring opportunities, but they are number 36 in points allowed per scoring opportunity. On the other side, this Rice offense, full season certainly has not looked great. Number 121 in PPA per pass. UConn's defense is number 17 in that. UConn's defense is actually really, really good. If you look overall, number 12 in defense, or defensive PPA allowed per drive. They're number 12 in PPA allowed per play as well. The Rice offense on the season has just not been very good, but this passing game has certainly gotten going as of late. They outplayed Tulane. They lost the game, but they outplayed them. They just flat out beat UTSA, who is not good, but should be better than Rice. This looks like a spot where I think it's going to come down very, very close. Very, very close. 6.5 feels like it's probably too much here. I don't know if Rice wins outright, but you look at strength of schedule, Rice number 92, UConn number 115. UConn has played a bunch of nobodies. I am going to go with Rice on this. Best number out there is Rice plus 6.5, but give me the Owls to be able to stay within that 6.5 there. We go to the MAC. The Mac Daddy. That's right. Bowling Green goes to Toledo. This is a rivalry game. Toledo favored by 2.5, total of 49.5 on this. My number has got Toledo by 6.06 points. My last four stats has got Toledo by 2.27. When you start to dig into it, Toledo, what they do best on offense is they pass the ball. They throw the ball 50% of the time. They're number 46 in predicted points added per pass. Well, Bowling Green is number 19 at defending that. They're number 4 in passing success allowed. Toledo is number 113. As far as rushing the ball, you would think that that's where Toledo would try and attack this defense because Bowling Green is number 108 in PPA allowed per rush. They are number 105 in rushing explosiveness allowed. The problem is Toledo is number 127 and number 131 in those two metrics. Don't really have much of an advantage as far as offensive line yards, stuff rate, anything like that. Standard downs PPA is one thing, but standard down success, which is the biggest thing here, Bowling Green is number 35, Toledo is number 91. It feels like Toledo might be behind the chains quite a bit, so that could be interesting. On the other side, Toledo's defense is really, really good. Vic Kenning, I believe. Vince Karras, that's his name. He's been awesome for Toledo's defense. They are really, really good. I think Bowling Green, I think Connor Bazelak, he played last week. I think he's going to be fine this week. I think they will be able to throw the ball some on Toledo's defense. Again, this is a rivalry game. I have had high hopes for Bowling Green basically all year. They're 3-4 on the season already. Toledo is 5-2. This feels like the kind of game that Jason Candle gives up. That's all I'll say. I think Bowling Green is better than their record. Their strength of schedule is certainly better, number 40, as opposed to Toledo, number 118. I think Bowling Green wins this game outright. I'm going against the model here. I think that Bowling Green plus 2.5 is the best number I can find. That's what I'm taking. We got a former Pac-12 battle out on the West Coast. Cal, now a member of the ACC, against Oregon State, who is still one of the Pac-2. And it looks like Cal is a 9.5-point favorite, total of 49.5. That is the consensus line across the board. Cal, their record is weird. They're 3-4. They have lost some close games, some really, really close games. They have not won an ACC game yet. But, man, I think their four ACC losses are by a combined 9 points. Anyway, getting into the nitty-gritty of it, Oregon State's defense can't stop the run. Turns out Cal is not good at running the ball. Number 117 in PPA per rush. Oregon State is number 130. So Cal just doesn't do it very often. 44.16% of the time do they run the ball. Mendoza, the quarterback, they throw the ball quite a bit. Almost 56% of the time. That's number 30 in the country. Well, it turns out that Oregon State, that's what they defend best. They're number 35 in predicted points added allowed per pass. Cal is number 58 in that metric. As far as, you know, finishing drives, points per scoring opportunity, all that, Cal is number 122. They routinely find a way to not score points when they get down into the opponent's 40-yard line. On the other side, Oregon State can still run the ball. Number 10 in PPA per rush, number 16 in rushing success. Cal's defense, number 87 and number 77 in that. I don't expect Oregon State to try and throw the ball very often. When it comes to efficiency and whatnot, Cal is certainly better. But here's the thing: I don't need Oregon State to be better efficiency wise. I just need them to stay within 9.5, 10 points. I found a 10 out there. I feel pretty good about that. Oregon State, I think, stays in this ball game. Cal has not been great. Give me Oregon State. Best number I found was 10. So the Beavers plus 10. In Berkeley this weekend. We got a Big 12 battle going on here with Arizona hosting West Virginia. Arizona currently a 3.5-point home favorite, total of 53.5 on this. And my number has West Virginia favored outright, 1.45 points do I have West Virginia favored. And based on stats from the last 4 weeks, West Virginia favored by almost a touchdown, 6.439. So 6.44, basically 6.5 points. You start digging into this, there's something wrong with Noah Fifita. I don't believe that he's healthy based on these numbers. They're number 97 in passing success rate, number 105 in predicted points added per pass. There's questions here. West Virginia has played a tougher strength of schedule than Arizona has. Arizona just got blasted by Colorado last week, just obliterated. Arizona can't run the ball, even if they do try to run the ball. That's the one thing that West Virginia is really good at defending. They're number 27 in PPA allowed per rush. On the other side, whenever West Virginia has got the ball, number 67 in PPA per pass. Arizona's defense is number 72, but when it comes down to actually moving the ball, West Virginia number 48 in passing success rate, Arizona's defense is number 101. As far as rushing the ball, West Virginia number 51, they are number 54 in rushing success rate. Arizona is number 88 in rushing success allowed. West Virginia knows how to finish drives. They're number 19 in points per scoring opportunity. Arizona's defense is number 100. I've got West Virginia number 74 in five factors plus talent. Arizona at number 98. There are issues with this Arizona team. They are 1-6 against the spread. I think the books are just setting the line where this team was last year with Jed Fish. I ain't buying it. I will take West Virginia plus 3.5 to cover on the road here. I think they win the game outright. We got a good old-fashioned ACC rivalry game when Florida State heads down to Coral Gables to take on Miami. Miami, a 20.5-point home favorite, total of 54.5. And these numbers are set, I think, based on the theory that Florida State will eventually wake up. And I don't think they're going to wake up. This is a bad, bad, bad football team. This number should be significantly higher. It was at 21.5, and bettors are, much like everybody else, thinking that eventually Florida State's going to play better. But I don't think they are. You look at just overall PPA margin, that's predicted points added margin. Number 121 for Florida State and number 7 for Miami. I mean, we are talking just a huge gap. Florida State's offense, number 129 in offensive success rate. Miami's defense is number 19. So long as Miami is interested in this game, and I have to imagine that they would be because they would like to take it out on Florida State. They do have Duke coming up next. Miami is coming off a game against Louisville. Florida State, as far as the schedule spot goes, they played at Duke and lost last week. They play at Miami. Then they've got North Carolina and at Notre Dame. It's a brutal stretch here. Florida State is not going to a bowl game. They're just not. They're 1-6 already. They've covered two spreads. I don't see any way that they. How about this? The only thing that I could see, maybe Florida State breaks some runs, although they haven't been very good at running the ball at all. They're number 113 in PPA per rush. They're number 125 in rushing explosiveness. But that is Miami's one weakness, is rushing explosiveness allowed. 134 is their ranking there. They are dead last in the country. Miami is number 2 in five factors plus talent rank. They are incredibly efficient. This thing's under 3 touchdowns right now, 20.5. I mean, what are we talking about? Give me the Canes. I think now their last 4 numbers, Miami minus 14. But remember, they had those 2 close games against Cal on the road and against Virginia Tech on a weeknight. I think Miami handles this one. Miami minus 20.5 for me. All right, let me tell you right quick. If you want to support the show, we've got a web store over at the website, winningcureseverything.com. That would certainly help if you were to buy something from over there. Or if you just want to be a member of the site, the community that we do here, there's a lot of people that have signed up. BettingCFB.com, you get a bunch of stat projections and whatnot that I put out on Sundays and Mondays. I give out my picks early over there. Whenever I feel strongly about a play, I put it over there. And we ask questions and we go back and forth, and it's a lot of fun. So bettingcfb.com, or you can go to the web store at winningcureseverything.com. If you haven't already, like the video, subscribe to the channel, and we've got, what, five more games that we are going to get into now. All right, on the BetUS show, we had somebody ask about this game. Utah going to Houston, and they asked if this was considered a sicko game, and the way that these two teams have been playing as of late, yeah. Yeah, I think this would constitute being a sicko game. Utah is currently a 3.5-point road favorite, total of 36.5. That's right, 36.5. It's like a service academy total. Not this year's service academies, but still. So, as we look at it right now, I've got Utah favored by 6.18. Now, there are still Cam Rising stats baked into this. Based on the last 4 weeks, I would have Utah by 5. That's how bad Houston has been. As bad as Utah has been, Houston has been worse. So, let's look at when Utah's on offense. They can kind of run the ball. Number 88 PPA per rush, number 84 rushing success rate. Houston, their defense has actually been pretty good against this. The problem that you get into as far as like efficiency and everything else, Houston is number 111 in turnover margin. Now, Utah's number 92, but, you know, Utah takes the ball away more. They don't turn it over as much, et cetera. Penalties per game, Utah's pretty buttoned up there. Number 10 in penalties per game. Houston is number 90 in that. I mean, it's just, it's gross. This is a gross, gross game. Sometimes when you see staff changes made, like Andy Ludwig decided to resign as the offensive coordinator this week, sometimes you can get a bit of a dead cat bounce. There's going to be stuff that comes out in this game play call wise that Houston has not seen. I think that's an advantage for Utah. Strength of schedule, Utah has played number 94. Houston has played the number 43. Even still, I think that Utah is still the better team because of their defense. I don't think Houston is going to be able to get anything on offense. Now watch them score 30 points and just make me look like a complete loon, because there is the potential for complete and total team collapse here with Utah based on what all has happened. Cam Rising is out for the rest of the year, if not longer, maybe forever. Isaac Wilson is a young, inexperienced quarterback that does have some experience now. I mean, they won at Oklahoma State, but man, I think that there's a bit of an advantage here for Utah with somebody different calling plays. I'm going to take Utah to cover here. Give me the Utes minus 3.5 on the road. I don't feel great about it, because how could you bet on either of these teams and feel good about them? But if you're going to do it, the way that I would lean would certainly be Utah minus 3.5. We go to the Big Ten and the battle for Paul Bunyan's axe. I am excited about this. Michigan State going to Michigan. Ann Arbor does not look the same right now. I will tell you that. Michigan currently a 3.5-point favorite. Total is 40.5 on this one. And you look at the records, and I don't know how this is possible, but Michigan State is 4-3, and Michigan is 4-3, but Michigan is 1-6 against the spread there. Michigan has quarterback problems. Let's look at Michigan on offense. Number 129 in PPA per pass. They only run the ball they only pass the ball 38.6% of the time. They're number 79 in passing success rate, number 133 in passing explosive. They don't have weapons. They don't have a quarterback. I don't know how you could allow a team that just won a national title to come into a season so ill-equipped at the most important position on the field. I just don't understand it. They can still run the ball, though. They're number 31 in PPA per rush, number 33 in rushing success rate. The problem is Michigan State's got Joe Rossi as their defensive coordinator, and they are good at defending the run. Number 43 and number 34 in PPA per rush and rushing success rate. So Michigan State, I think, is going to be able to slow down Michigan. On the other side, both of these teams just suck when it comes to giving the ball away. this game is super high variance, but Michigan State has gotten better. Michigan State's number 122 in giveaways per game. Well, I'll be damned. Michigan is number 122 as well. Just bananas. Michigan doesn't really commit a lot of penalties. Michigan State does. Part of that is partially because Joe Rossi's defenses can tend to be kind of aggressive. And when they are aggressive, they have issues like that. So When it comes down to it, I mean, these two teams are not that far off. Number 45 and number 59 as far as five factors plus talent, which is basically what do you do the things that you need to do to win a ball game. Michigan's a little bit better at that, but I don't know how Michigan can feel good this week going into this game when they just got blasted by Illinois last week. I know Illinois is 6-1. I get that. But you're Michigan. You were supposed to be better than that. You have now lost at Washington, at Illinois. I'm sure you feel good coming back home. You've got Oregon on deck next and at Indiana. Let's make this easy. Michigan State, best number that I can find is a 4. I'll take Michigan State plus the 4. I think Michigan State can win this game outright. I think they've got the better coaching staff right now. We go to the SEC, and Auburn is headed over to Lexington for a night game in the Commonwealth. Good gracious. Kentucky, favored by 2.5 at home, total of 42.5 over Auburn here. And Auburn is, they're not bad. Number 45 in PPA margin, Kentucky is number 91. Kentucky's offense has been significantly worse than Auburn's. Auburn is number 73 in predicted points added per drive on offense. Kentucky is number 104. On defense, you got number 34 and number 37. So you got two teams that are pretty good at that. My number on this is Kentucky minus 3.39. And based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Kentucky minus 3.6, so 3.5 points. I feel pretty good about Kentucky in the spot, which, first off, condolences, of course, thoughts and prayers, T's and P's, whatever you want to call it, to Mark Stoops. His mother passed away, I believe, today, if I'm not mistaken. So you might see a bit of a bounce from the Wildcats, who want to come back from looking from just getting completely embarrassed last week by Florida. The Auburn turnover thing is still a thing. They're numbered 130 in giveaways per game. Kentucky isn't great at generating turnovers. They're number 89 in takeaways per game, but Kentucky doesn't really turn the ball over either. The issue for Auburn is this. Interceptions per pass. They throw the ball 52% of the time. They're number 129 in interceptions per pass rate. Kentucky's defense is number 23 in getting interceptions per pass. So if you're going to throw the ball on Kentucky, you better be ready to just give it to them on a silver platter. Here you go. So when I look at this, I... Field position, that favors Kentucky as well. Just the efficiency metrics overall, five factors plus talent, leans Kentucky. I think the crowd's going to be hyped up for the Wildcats. I think they are going to, they need this badly to get to a bowl game. Auburn is not going to a bowl game, I don't believe. They'd have to win a lot of their games. They'd have to win 4 of their next 5 bowl games, and Auburn is playing Alabama, Texas A&M at the end of the year, ULM, who is 6-1 right now, Vanderbilt, and then at Kentucky this week. Kentucky, on the other hand, they are 3-4, and Kentucky has got, let's see, where is Kentucky? There we go. So they've got Auburn, at Tennessee, Murray State, at Texas, and Louisville. They could probably beat Louisville. They could probably beat Murray State. This is the one you got to get because you don't want to go to Tennessee or Texas needing a win. So if you are Kentucky wanting to get to a bowl game, this is your spot. You're at home. You are favored. You should win this game. I will take Kentucky minus the 2.5 to beat Auburn this week. All right, two more games, and we go to the ACC for this one. SMU is going to Duke, and Duke is currently an 11.5-point home underdog, total at 48.5. This number has not moved. Nobody really knows what to do with this thing. Because while Duke is 6-1, there anybody that had the under 5.5 on the win total for Duke is just beside themselves. I mean, it is absolutely absurd. But you know, SMU is 6-1 and they're feeling pretty good. So both teams only 2 non-covers on the entire season. SMU, you look at them and they have, let's see, they played at Stanford last week. Now they come all the way across to the other side to play at Duke, and they play Pitt at home next week. So a lot of travel before they get a bye week in week number 11. So Duke, on the other hand, looking at their schedule, They are. They played Florida State last week. That was a big win. They've got SMU this week. They play at Miami next week, and that is a huge game for Manny Diaz. That is the current Duke coach. He did coach at Miami before that. SMU is better at everything, and yet my number is SMU by 8. Based on the last 4 weeks of stats, he's got Duke by 6.69. I think that Duke looks ahead in this one. This is the one where they don't show up, where the defense ends up getting not roasted, but Duke is number 102 in current strength of schedule, SMU number 71. I think this is the best offense that Duke has played thus far. These defensive numbers are great when you're playing, you know, Florida State and Northwestern and Middle Tennessee and at Georgia Tech and UConn and whatever, right? But SMU is the best offense that they faced, and SMU isn't even a great offense. They're number 42 in offensive PPA per drive. They're number 28 in offensive PPA per play, and that SMU defense is just as good as Duke's defense. Number 6 compared to Duke, number 4. I think with the look-ahead spot for Manny Diaz, I don't think he's worried about SMU. I don't think they expect to beat SMU. I think I will take SMU, even though you're paying a premium here. Best number out there. Again, it hadn't moved. SMU minus 11.5. Give me the Mustangs on this. Last game of the night here, and Washington State is going to San Diego State. Washington State is favored on the road by 14.5 points, total of 57.5 here. Interesting game. My number on it is Washington State by 12.5. Based on the last 4 weeks, I've got Washington State by 8. I kind of like the over here, even though full season stats would have the under pretty significantly. But based on recent numbers, I think that San Diego State's going to be able to put up more points than you would think. Now, Washington State, on offense, they're going to be able to run the ball all day. All day on San Diego State. Number 68 in offensive line yards against number 130. San Diego State has not been able to stop anybody. Number 19 in PPA per rush. A lot of that is John Mateer. I think he could get close to like 200 yards rushing in this game because he just creates. He just knows what he's doing. As far as passing the ball, that is the one thing that San Diego State's defense is really good at defending. I don't think you're going to see Washington State do a ton of that. And if they're not throwing the ball a bunch, then I think what you're going to get is a tighter game than 14.5 points. Turnover margin, both teams really good at not giving the ball away. Number 32 for Washington State as far as giveaways per game. San Diego State is number 12. I think San Diego State is starting to round into form. I forget what they call this offense now. It's like the Flash Tech offense, something like that, whatever it is. But, you know, Sean Lewis, slowly but surely, the offense is figuring things out. They look a lot better now than they did. They're number 74 in PPA per pass. Washington State's defense is number 76. Passing success, San Diego State's still not very good. They're number 133, but they are explosive. Number 31 in passing explosiveness. Washington State is at number 93 in passing explosives allowed. This feels like San Diego State's 3-3. Now, Washington State is 6-1. I fully expect Washington State to win this game, but 14.5 is just too many points. We'll make it easy. San Diego State plus the 14.5. Both of my numbers like it. I like it. I think that San Diego State's a little bit better than what their numbers are saying because they have improved. Remember, they've got a first-year coach. Jake Dickert is good, but he doesn't have to win by margin by any stretch of the imagination. Washington State has got a bye week coming up, and then they play Utah State at New Mexico, at Oregon State and Wyoming. We might get an 11-1 Washington State team. Like, just be on the lookout. San Diego State, what they've got next week, they play at Boise on Friday next week. They play New Mexico the following Friday at UNLV, at Utah State, and Air Force. So San Diego State's coming off of a bye week. Yeah, Aztecs plus 14.5 on this. All right, so time for a recap. We're going to take Nebraska plus 25.5, Ole Miss minus 20.5, Georgia Tech plus 10.5, Virginia minus 4, Tulane minus 7.5, Arkansas minus 6.5, Georgia State plus 7.5, Missouri plus 13.5, Northwestern plus 14, Minnesota minus 4, Rice plus 6.5, Bowling Green plus 2.5, Oregon State plus 10, West Virginia plus 3.5, Miami minus 20.5, Utah minus 3.5, Michigan State plus 4, Kentucky minus 2.5, SMU minus 11.5, and San Diego State plus 14.5. You guys know what to do. Like the video if you've not already done that. Kept this thing under an hour this time. I have a handy-dandy new timer that allows me to just do about 2 minutes on each team, each game, and I feel good about it. So we're going to keep that thing going for next week. That thing, I could do 3 hours on these games, but I don't have the time. So winningcureseverything.com is the website. Of course, go to bettingcfb.com if you want to be a member over there. I would certainly appreciate that. That would help me out. Of course, the BetUS College Football Show every Tuesday and Wednesday, 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And then, of course, we do Three Dog Thursday, myself and TJ on Thursdays. Sometimes he's got somebody else in there. Tomorrow it will be me. So I will be here knocking this thing out. Week 9, I think it's going to be a good week. Don't forget TicketSmarter.com. Use the promo code WCE10 or WCE20 to save yourself some money. And GhostSleeves.com/WCE. We appreciate our sponsors. We appreciate you guys for supporting us, supporting the sponsors, etc. So, with that said, we'll be back again before the end of the week. Don't you worry about nothing. With that said, take care of yourself. Take care of each other. God bless college football, and hopefully all of your tickets cash this week. Thanks for listening to Winning Cures Everything. Make sure and follow me on Twitter, @GaryWCE. If you want to toss in a question, you can email me, Gary@winningcureseverything.com. Make sure and hit that subscribe button, and we'll see you next time.
Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country. And those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.